Praise Yahweh. Glad to have you in here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Got a great program, like we said. We're gonna get into the intelligent design factor tonight. Fossils. They tell a great story. Well, let's see what they say. In grade school, if you remember studying on fossils, that they appeared in rocks that were formed many thousands of years ago. Yet there's a number of fossils that just don't make geological or historical sense. It's out of the norm. A fossil of a human handprint, for example, was found in limestone estimated to be 110 million years old. Now that's incredible, ladies and gentlemen. 110 million years old. It's incredible. I just can't believe it that we're that old. You know, maybe we're not. Maybe we're much older. You ever thought of that? Ladies and gentlemen, you ever thought that we might be just a little older than 110 million years old? You know, on part one, we did a first day polar year that added up to 2,592,000 years for one day for Yahweh. Now, if he's that old, then just in the first day, this would be just a drop in a bucket, estimated to be a handprint in a fossilized stone 110 million years old. And yet the church has kept us locked in a box and told us to believe the Bible account of Genesis. And that was the beginning, and that Adam was the father of all of the bloodlines on the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, no wonder we're so gullible. If we believe that, and a lot of people do, then you wouldn't even attempt to believe a 110 million year old fossil with a handprint in it. What appears to be a fossilized human finger found in the Canadian Antarctic dates to well over 120 million years old. And what appears to be the fossil of a human footprint, possibly wearing a sandal, was found near Delta, Utah, in a shale deposit. Listen to this now. This is going to blow you away. There's no way you're going to believe this unless you're a believer. Estimated to be 300 to 600 million years old. Now, over the last few decades, miners in South Africa have been digging up mysterious metal spears. Unknown origin. These spheres measure approximately an inch or so in diameter, and some are etched with three parallel grooves running around the equator. Now, two types of the spheres have been found. One is composed of a solid bluish metal with flecks of white. The other is hollowed out and filled with a spongy, white, unknown substance. Now, the kicker is that the rock in which they were found is pre-Cambrian and dated to, listen to this now, oh no, you can't handle this, unless you're a believer, dated 2.8 billion years. Who made them? What was their purpose? 2.8 billion years old. Can you believe this? It's almost incredible. South Africa, miners deep in under the earth in South Africa have dug up several of these etched parallel groove stones, metals, not stones, but metal spheres. They're metal. Don't even know what kind of metal. It's a solid bluish metal with flakes of white, and the others are filled with a spongy white substance. 2.8 billion years. Listen to this. Using 4 million computers. If you think that man ain't getting on to this, if you think that they ain't out there looking, if you don't believe that your government probably already knows and they're out there, using 4 million computers worldwide, scientists based at the University of California in Berkeley said that they have identified 150 sources of possible, listen to this now, possible signals from intelligent civilizations. The California researchers plan to head to Puerto Rico this month to use one of the world's most powerful telescopes to more closely investigate the signals that are from or might be from extraterrestrials. A university spokesman said that they are honing in on very interesting signals, said Ms. Sarah Yang, a spokesman at the University of Berkeley, where the CETI, S-E-T-I, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, home research project is based. What are they looking for? They got 4 million computers linked. Now, these are linked computers worldwide searching. Now, they're going to, now that they've got their data, they're going to move to California or to Puerto Rico to the one of the largest and one of the most, world's most powerful. They have more powerful, but this is a powerful telescope to investigate the signals that might be from someone living out there. Oh, my. Would that ever be a shocker? Would the world come to a complete halt and a heads up? For the first time in everybody on earth, they would begin to look in the skies and into the heavens just exactly like the Messiah told them to when he was here. He himself stated very bluntly, I am the causative verb to be, Haya Eliasher Haya. I am not of this world. Now, they're honing in on interesting signals. Where do you think they're coming from? And that they say that at least 150 sources of possible intelligent civilizations. The project links volunteer computer users into the researchers' efforts to search for strong or unusual signals from space that one day may lead to the proof that there really may be something out there. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand these well-educated people. I can't blame them for searching because I do know that something is out there. But if they just read the Bible, it would tell them. A cloud that followed the Israelites across the desert for 40 years. Some kind of a mechanical system of intelligence was in some kind of a a system, a ship perhaps, unidentified, invoked in a cloud to cover what this actually was. And, ladies and gentlemen, the leading candidate signals compiled over more than 3 years of work. This is 3 years of work, and now they're going to go to the larger telescope, and they're going to hone in on these 150 possible signals of intelligent civilizations. Some strong, and they have been observed in the same spot more than once. While scientists involved in the project are cautious about their chances of actually discovering a signal from an intelligent being in outer space, this time they believe that they're on the right track for the future. Oh my! Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on here? All of a sudden, they're beginning to believe that there's someone out there, an intelligence. Perhaps someone with long lives, that they exist and that we exist because of them. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something for these outer space connections to connect to the Earth? And then it would be announced that there's life in space out there somewhere, that there's intelligent beings, perhaps a little bit more intelligent than we are. Oh, it couldn't be. We're the smartest people. The whole universe is void of anyone. We're the only ones here. We're our own masters. There is no God. There is no intelligent being. There is no spiritual being. There is no angels. Those are figments of religious imagination. I believe that we will likely discover extraterrestrial civilization in the next 100 years, Dan Withemer, chief scientist of the SETI home, said in a statement. Even if we don't find the signal from the ETs this time, I'm optimistic in the long run our search capabilities are doubling, listen to this now, are doubling every year. And once that we develop the intelligence to match the signal of the intelligence that are being positioned toward us. And ladies and gentlemen, there's hundreds and hundreds of signals being produced. The stars, as I have told you, are quasars. And I told you about the near star, 4.5 light years away, light traveling 186,000 feet per second, and would take 4 years of light traveling at 186,000 just to the nearest star. Now, the light going out to the farthest star would be, it would be incredible. It, ladies and gentlemen, something is going on here in our world. Right, even as we speak right now, there is something going on. But the basis of where to look is not in the future, but into the past. If we look far enough into the past, we'll find that somewhere that there is a stone that has been discovered, and we'll reveal it to you here, and we'll talk about it. It's a 3D map of the Earth created now, get this, estimated to be 120 million years ago that this map was created. It's a 3D. We have nothing capable of duplicating it. And it displays, if you will, a place, a geographical place, where that the evidence is still there to indicate 120 million years ago, some intelligence or intelligent beings were living or visiting Earth. And it left this indisputable evidence of the existence of an ancient, highly developed civilization in the Ural Mountains in Russia. On June the 6th, Pravda will hold, now this has already passed, back in June of last year, an online press, I'm sorry, this was 202, an online press conference with Doctor of Physical and Mathematical Science Alexander Shufrov, the professor of Bashkar State University, has found indisputable evidence of the existence of a highly developed civilization high in the Urals. And his find is a huge slab which is age estimated and supposed to be about 120 million years. Our research topic is about the possible migration of ancient Chinese to destroy to the territory of modern Russia. And this is a possible, our research topic is about the possible migration of ancient Chinese to the territory of modern Russia or Siberia or the Urals. We have discovered letters on the rocks made in ancient Chinese about 3,000 years ago. Now remember, the stone that they found is 120 million years ago. It wouldn't have anything to do with the Chinese, I don't think. But they have found evidence that 3,000 years ago that the ancient Chinese did journey there. And during our research in the UFO archives, we discovered notes from the end of the 18th century about 200 unusual ancient stone plates. Our ideal was that these plates are somehow connected to Chinese migrants. Thus, we were looking for an ancient civilization, but much closer to ourselves. We were expecting to see nothing more than hieroglyphics or pictures with a running mammoth or a deer typical for that period. There were 6 expeditions organized, and in July 28, 1999, at 1.06 meters underground, we found the plate now called the Dashkin. And Kamen is stone in Russia. So the Dashkin Kamen. It has a significant size of about 1.5 meters in height and more than 1 meter wide and 16 centimeters thick. It weighs more than 1 ton, and in the scientist's opinion, it is a relief or a 3D map. We were absolutely happy. We thought that we had found a product made some 2,000 years ago. The plate itself is artificial. It was produced from a special cement of 3 layers. And the 3rd layer is a white-colored porcelain. It should be noticed that the relief of this plate was not cut manually with some ancient stone cutter. It is evident that some mechanical system of work was done, which we today have nothing to do this kind of work. There is a region from Ufa up to the town of Salvayat represented on the plate. Euphus Hills are very familiar from one side. And from the other side, there are some changes. Firstly, we were surprised by the Euphus Canyon. They were surprised by the Euphus Canyon, the break in the Earth's crust from the present Euphus to this present Stirlilamokka city. There was a river in it 2 to 3 kilometers deep and 3 to 4 kilometers wide. Nevertheless, the break is one of the principal points of our theory. This break. They considered it a break. We concluded, or we conducted, geological research and found its track in the place where it should be, theoretically. Tectonic plates from the east crushed it from about 10 to 15 kilometers to the west. So we assume that now the Yushark River is in the place of this former canyon. There are not only rivers, but 2 systems of channels up to 500 meters wide and a total length of 12,000 kilometers. The whole hydro system that it describes on this map includes 12 dams, man-made, 300 to 500 meters wide, 10 kilometers long, and 2 to 3 kilometers deep. They made it possible to turn water from any side into any channel about 1,000 trillion cubic meters of soil had to be moved to create this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 120 million years ago, they now believe that someone was here damming up a river high in the Ural Mountains of Russia. Geological research has proven this, and the stone on to view at the Moscow Museum, the plate is definitely artificial, with some type of special cement of 3 layers, and the 3rd layer is a white-colored porcelain, estimated to be 120 million years. Now, ladies and gentlemen, something's going on here. Something we've been told. Somebody is trying to keep somebody dumbed down and out of bounds, if you will, for the time that we live in. Now more and more people are beginning to see that there's something that is out there, or someone has been out there, and that, ladies and gentlemen, we today would know exactly that there's a time coming whereas men would learn, because much knowledge is going to be increased. In Derakuya, in Turkey, we have an underground city, ladies and gentlemen, that is there. And let me tell you something a little bit about how this city was found. It was found by chance. In 1963, an inhabitant of Derinkua in the region of Kapadokya, Central Anatolia, Turkey, was demolishing a wall of his house, hoping to expand. To his surprise, he knocked in a wall, and there was a cave. And to his astonishment, behind that wall was a mysterious room that never had been seen. This rock, or this room, took on and hooked up to another one, and this one to another one, one to another one. And he was scared as he went into the hollowed out chambers. Looked like that they had been dug in ancient times. By chance, the underground city of Derinkeyoa was discovered, whose first level could be excavated by the Hittites around the year 1400 AC. However, when the archaeologists got in it, they discovered it was much older. They began to study this fascinating underground city that was able, and they were able to arrive at 40 meters of depth. Although guesses are, and they haven't been there yet, they're afraid, that the bottom is as far down as 85 meters and could hold up or hold or house 10,000 people, and yet they still haven't explored at present. 20 underground levels have been discovered. Only 8 levels can be visited, however. The others are partially obstructed or reserved for the archaeologists and for the anthropologists who study this amazing find. And I have the picture of it up here. And it's amazing how that man that far back. Now, these had grated drains. It was connected to an underground river. It had its own natural ventilation system. And it goes down 85 or perhaps more, they don't know, meters down into the. But what they have discovered so far said that it would hold possibly 10,000 inhabitants. These caves and extensions and connections have been hewed from solid stone. And if it is the people that they hope it is, that would be an amazing feat for them and for the technology, because it's hard to dig a tunnel, and most of you know. The city was used for shelter by thousands of people who lived in the caves to protect themselves from the frequent invasions that they underwent. At the diverse times of their occupation, also, they were tormented by the first Christians' armies that came in. The enemies, conscious of the dangers that lie hidden inside the city, generally tried to flush the people to the surface by poisoning their wells. This is a magnificent feature that I believe was much older than what the archaeologists are now guessing it to be. Because the ancient work and the interior is amazing. The underground passages in which there is space for at least, as I said, 10,000 people could be blocked in 3 strategically important points by moving circular stone doors that weigh literally tons, and these heavy rocks that closed the corridors and prevented the entrance to the enemy. They were 1 to 1.5 meters in height and about 50 centimeters in width and a weight up to 500 kilos. Very large stones. The circular stone door closed the corridor, having isolated the inhabitants, and they lived safely inside. In addition, the city has a tunnel of almost 8 kilometers in length that leads to another underground city of Kappadocia and Kalamaka. Oh my. They have discovered another tunnel that leads to another underground city. And this is blocked for the sake of the archaeologist. And it will take years to determine its origin, who did it, and where it goes to. They still don't know. The underground cities on this zone, the Greek historian Jafonte spoke of his work in the work of Anabasis. He explained that the people who lived in Anatolia had excavated their houses under the earth and lived sufficiently in great lodgings for the entire family. His domestic animals and the food provision were stored in reserve, along with the water access, underground river, as well as ventilation from a natural source. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the reclaimed levels, the stables have been located with dining rooms, a church, or a meeting place of 20 by 9 meters with a ceiling of more than 3 meters of height, and kitchens still blackened by the soot of bonfires that ignited the fires to cook, and presses for the wine and for the oil, and warehouses and places of feeding, a school, numerous rooms, and even a bar. It's amazing. The city benefited from the existence of an underground river, and it had water wells and a magnificent exhaust fan. Altogether, 52 wells of ventilation were discovered. And that astonishes the engineers of this present time, because they would be hard-pressed to match the feat. And ladies and gentlemen, what's going on here? We are in what is called the end of the mysteries to begin the questions. Just as soon as we find these discoveries, it opens up the mysteries. Now, is this all about the underground? Well, no. Rumors about underground towns have appeared for the first time in our modern time, in 1946, the person to launch the rumors was Richard Shaver. I have his book. He was a writer and a journalist and a scientist. His incredible story tells about contacts that he had with aliens living under the ground, and he published in an Amazing Stories magazine. Shaver said he had spent several weeks living under the ground with demon-looking aliens, or the Doros, as he called them. These descriptions can be found in ancient legends and fairy tales. Almost every nation has a tale of an ancient race who settled in planet Earth long before humans appeared on top of it. These underground creatures are described as inconceivably talented, brilliant, and culturally educated, but they do not want to have anything with the surface humans that walk on it. The unbelievable story exerted an immense influence on scientists and gave an incentive to the study of paranormal activities. English astronomer of the 17th century Edmund Halley and writers Jules Verne, Edgar Allan Poe, and others wrote in their works that the planet Earth is a hollow sphere. American authorities were preparing a special scientific mission in the latter part of the 18th and the beginning part of the 19th centuries to explore the Earth's hollow depth. Now, I spoke at length about this, and a Navy colonel who was reported to fly into the Earth, the interior of the Earth, at the North Pole, 1,700 miles, he saw unbelievable things that he wrote about, and things of this nature. And so, a lot of people, and if you look at the poles from the shots of the outer space, they are concave, both at the north and the south poles. And the theory is that the Earth inside has an active sun to provide light and energy, and that these are where these interior dwellers dwelled, which are much, much, much more intelligent than the ones that live on the surface. Now, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't it Cain that was driven off the face of the earth? And he said, whoever finds me will kill me. And there was a seal set upon Cain. Could this be the North Pole and the South Pole? And of course, you know what cold is. Cold doesn't exist. It's just the absence of heat. And so once the absence of heat in the north and the absence of heat in the south, the southern poles, we talked about the poles and the volutes and the turn of the precession of the equinox and the long 25,920 years in each segment of 12. And then you multiply that in the days and in the years, and you find that time in the creation travels very slow. Also, the scientists of the Third Reich were interested in the mysterious underground world, and they also sent a special top secret expedition in 1942. Full of German scientists who hoped to install new radar system under the ground and draw closer to global rain. Unfortunately, the outcome of the intrigue is not known, but the hypothesis of the underground civilization developed further on during the second half of the 20th century. In 1963, two American coal miners, David Phelan and Henry Throne, found a large door in a tunnel, behind which they discovered a marble stairway. 1963. I wonder who has dared to go behind the marble door and down the marble stairway. In England, miners can hear the sounds of mechanical devices. Oh, really? Could be your government. Mechanical devices, they can hear the sound under the ground as they dig a tunnel. As they dug a tunnel, an English miner said that they also found a stairway to an underground well. The sound of machines became more distinct, and the workers fled in fear. And when they returned to the tunnel, there were no longer stairs and no entrance that they could find that they all reported. An American satellite took a very interesting photograph at the end of the 70s, and the photograph published in many Western scientific magazines. The pictures depicted a dark, regularly shaped spot on the North Pole. The photographs were not defective, unless they've been doctored. Similar pictures depicting the same dark spot on the pole were taken several years later. Why? Anthropologist James McKinnon went on exploring an ill-famed cave in the state of Idaho. McKinnon and other members of the expedition could hear, listen to this now, as they entered the cave and descended to the point where they dared not to go any further, they could hear screams and moans as they were moving hundreds of meters deep into the cave. The researchers found human skeletons, and soon they had to stop their quest because of the smell of brimstone suddenly became unbearable. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, It's a strange world that we live in. Geologists do not share the theory of the Earth's huge cavity, although they do not exclude a possibility. Numerous large hollow spaces, they acknowledge, would have to exist in Earth's planet's depths. Human life would be hardly possible, though, they say, in those cavities, because the temperatures would be too high and there would be very little oxygen. Some researchers believe that the underground civilization could be extraterrestrial in their origin. Aliens were probably tired of people's eternal wars and atrocities and moved under the ground where that they could more comfortably observe the development of the mankind. And what if the UFOs appear in the sky came actually from underground or existing or exiting at the poles, both north and south? And not from farther galaxies. However, if planet Earth is hollow inside, someone should have found the gateway to the underground long ago. A group of American scientists believes that underground cities do exist on Earth in the fourth dimension. Get that. But these guys are getting out there. They're about to join Pastor Buddy. When the Earth's electromagnetic field changes from time to time, entrances to the tunnels open, and accidentally visitors may see the underground cities and perhaps may even were permitted to visit them. One of the theories says that many mysterious constructions, like English the Stonehenge, for example, were built to designate entrances to underground cities. If there is a reasonable race living under the ground, it would be an explanation to a lot of inexplicable phenomena. Oh, man. Well, that is chilling. I don't know about you, but, man, I'm excited about what's going on today. Mysterious underground worlds? Could it be that such writers of the 17th century knew more than we know in the 21st? Jules Verne? What was it, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? Wrote about going to the moon? Everything he wrote was prophetic. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something going on here in our world, and we just can't understand what it is. It is something that is worthy to note in our trying to free ourselves and trying to come on to the presence of Yahweh, that Yahweh Himself would give us understanding and wisdom to understand what is going on in our mysterious universe and also under our Earth, where perhaps maybe the answer that when Cain said, "You have driven me from the face of the earth," could it be that Cain was a cursed individual, and that he went down into the earth, and there he waited, and there he's waiting, and there he's waiting for the time, for the time to, for him to stop or to reveal himself? And would he have some of the visitors from the stars to support his project? Would they assist him? And would we be duped into thinking that these are the angels from heaven that are revealing to us a race that has long lived underground, and we would all be fascinated, including myself? However, the remote possibilities, as remote as they are becoming quite frequently possibilities of thought to man's mind. And so thus we see that there are many, many mysteries that even the Bible would acknowledge. We're not the only ones that would talk about mysteries and be fascinated with mysteries. The Bible itself declares that in the last days, the mysteries will be finished. That means that things will be revealed. It's been kept secret from the foundation of the world. The things that you see are not as you suppose them to be. Because when we begin this series, we just talked about the book of Hebrews that Paul elaborated on, that it is indeed a very strange example of faith, without which no man can see. Just like the fourth dimension, how can an earth exist inside an earth? How could two different species of beings, one fourth dimensional and one third dimensional, waiting on the fifth column of dimensional beings, that they exist somewhere? And so then, these dimensional frequencies, we know that even today, that frequencies, low frequencies, that are directed toward a person can change their perception. They can actually hear voices from another dimension. That's been proven time and time again. And so, with the advent of light, and with the advent of time, and with the advent of space, we live in one of the most peculiar worlds that exist. And the Bible exactly speaks of worlds. And so then, there could be other worlds that exist, and we could have what is known as the great mystery coming up very soon that will be solved, to where it would answer all of these questions that form in our mind, and that fearful things would come to pass. In the last days, we would see the things that are made possible by the impossible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? If you would like to write me tonight, I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. A long sponsor of my radio program. A great supporter. A great man. You could call him tomorrow during the business hours between 9 to 5. And that's Central Time, by the way. You could call him for Miracle 2. And for Vitamir, one of the best toothpastes and one of the best soaps on the market, all natural. You could call Brother Paul, my friend in Michigan, the great state of Michigan, 1-800-253-2748 for StemTech. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know tonight that love is a secret weapon against the devil. If we love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, just know one thing, that Yahweh is a strong tower, and that the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Could you believe that you would be safe if you was to surrender your life to Yahweh? Well, I believe you would, and I think it's time for you to consider. If you'd like to call me tonight, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you tomorrow night at 11 on the late call. Hope to see you then. Yahweh bless you until then. And keep in mind that I love you.